Whether you are starting a business or running a business, maybe you're producing a podcast like The Kara Golden Show. Let's face it, it's always way harder than one might expect. Lots of little details, meticulous planning, producing product, guest coordination, editing, promoting each episode. It's all a ton of work. Managing merchandise, managing cases and book sales too, layer after layer of complexity. And if you're like me, looking for ways to operate more efficiently and effectively is the name of the game. That's why I'm going to let you in on a little secret. ShipStation, the tool that is here to help you, and you need to know all about it. With ShipStation, you can integrate with all the places you sell online, optimize your shipping, save costs and time. Personally, ShipStation has been a lifesaver for me. Its automation features allow me to manage orders from anywhere and print shipping labels with just a click. Seriously, it's that easy. And the cost savings? Unbelievable. With discounts up to 89% off carrier rates, you can't go wrong. Significant savings. And who doesn't want that? An easy-to-use dashboard, robust reporting. Oh, and did I mention that over 130,000 companies have leveraged ShipStation to grow their businesses? Not much churn either. 98% of them stay with ShipStation because it truly works. ShipStation is it. So if you're ready to streamline your shipping process and focus more on what you love, head over to ShipStation.com, the innovative tool that helps turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code KARA to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code KARA. Use code KARA for a free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, promo code KARA.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I am unwilling to give up, that I will start over from scratch as many times as it takes to get where I want to be.
You just want to make sure you will get knocked down, but just make sure you don't get knocked out.
So your only choice should be go focus on what you can control.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Kara Golden Show. Join me each week for inspiring conversations with some of the world's greatest leaders. We'll talk with founders, entrepreneurs, CEOs, and really some of the most interesting people of our time. Can't wait to get started. Let's go. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Kara Golden Show. I'm your host, Kara Golden, and thanks so much for tuning in. I know there's so many podcast choices out there. I massively appreciate the fact that you're taking the time to tune into our show today. And today, we have a super special guest who is a serial entrepreneur, some of my secret favorites. But we are joined by Alex Back, who is the founder and CEO of Couch.com, which is an innovative new online platform designed to help match customers with their perfect new couches. Formerly, Alex was the co-founder and chief operating officer of the popular furniture brand Apartment 2B, which you may have heard of. And with his new venture, Couch.com, he aims to help customers sift through the nearly unlimited amount of variables that you have to consider when you're buying a couch. And Alex is a builder, like I said, serial entrepreneur. So I can't wait to hear more about his journey thus far and what he's learned along the way. So let's get started. Welcome, Alex.
Well, thanks, Kara. Appreciate it. Nice to be here. Where did you get your last couch?
Well, that's a good question. I have not bought a couch in a while, but I have restoration hardware, modular sofas. So part of what I realized is that I have a couple of rooms that I knew that I would be changing them up over time as my kids were getting older. And so I'm really boring. I bought the exact same sofas for these rooms so I could switch them up and the different modular pieces, and they were all sized properly. But Couch.com was not available at the time when I did buy these sofas. So if it had been, I might have been coming to you to ask for your thoughts and advice on it. So, how did you get involved? Actually, before we get into Couch.com, how'd you get involved in entrepreneurship and I guess your first startup? Because you didn't start off in the furniture business.
I used to do something very different, which is that I used to be an actor and a singer. And at the time, when I was sort of running my own acting business, if you will. But at the time, when I was starting my last company, Apartment 2B, I was singing on cruise ships in the Caribbean. And that's where my buddies were out boozing and schmoozing. I was in my stateroom drawing up a business plan on my laptop. So that's a lot of funny stories within there. But yeah, ultimately, I got into the furniture space by way of my best buddy and former business partner, Matt, who was in the space for a long time. His dad was in the industry. And you find that there's a lot of legacy. There's a lot of legacy going on in the furniture. It's one of these old school, you know, salt of the earth industries that is ripe for disruption in many ways, of course. But yeah, a lot of people like generationally being a part of it. So my business partner was that. We are good friends. And yeah, I kind of got started that way. I did it as a side job with my acting at first, selling furniture. And then we sort of morphed into backed our way into like a popular e-commerce furniture retail brand, Apartment 2B.
Which is super, super incredible. I have purchased from Apartment 2B along the way.
Whoa, you didn't tell me that.
How often have you thought about learning a new language only to be stopped by that memory of yours from the last time you tried to learn a language when it didn't go so well? Okay, maybe it wasn't a language that you were interested in learning, or perhaps all those poorly written textbooks in your sixth grade class weren't that well written after all. I have a great tip for you. It's called Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program around, available on desktop or app. No matter where you choose to learn it or what platform you choose to learn on, Rosetta Stone works, and it truly immerses you in the language you choose to learn, quicker and easier than you ever imagined to. Maybe you're getting ready to travel abroad this summer and you want to learn a bit of Portuguese, let's say, before your trip. Rosetta Stone can help. I know this firsthand as I did just this before traveling to Portugal last year. I learned Portuguese through Rosetta Stone, and by doing so, I not only got a better grasp of the spoken language of Portugal, but it got me very excited for the trip itself before I went. They even have a true accent feature that gives you feedback on your pronunciation as you are learning too. They've got you covered. Rosetta Stone's trusted experts are the real deal. They've been helping people just like you for over 30 years, helping millions of people to learn Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and my favorite, Portuguese. The lessons are 5 to 10 minutes long and include practical exercises so that you can pick up the language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. No English translations either, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language you are focused on, helping you get the long-term retention you are looking for. And who wouldn't want that? Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, the Kara Golden Show listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today today. in today's world, which I will admit can at times seem filled with too much of the wrong information, it's essential to find a good source that truly gets to the heart of what I want to know. I am super excited about our next sponsor, as I've been a big fan of their content for some time now. That sponsor is The Washington Post. Their depth on topics from business to tech isn't just impressive, it's essential reading for me. Whether I'm catching up on the latest tech trends or understanding how the day's news truly impacts my family, The Washington Post is my trusted source. Let's talk specifics. Their business and tech coverage, absolutely top-notch. Just imagine having the most insightful articles at your fingertips, including the unparalleled AI reporting from Drew Harwell or the pulse on tech and online culture from Taylor Lorenz. And the best part? You can listen to articles just like you listen to this podcast, making it perfect for your busy lifestyle. I was just reading an article from one of my favorite Washington Post writers, Frances Stead Sellers. She covers entrepreneurs like myself, but also covers other interesting topics, including health, as well as some very interesting books. I also love getting their For You newsletter, which is their roundup of stories tailored just for my interests, right in my inbox every evening. The Washington Post app is super well done, I think. It makes it incredibly easy to stay up to date and follow my favorite journalists on the go. And if you ever thought that the Washington Post is just about politics, think again. They cover everything under the sun, from climate and culture to crosswords and cooking, providing a world of surprising stories and vital insights. Okay, enough of the love fest that I have for the Washington Post. Here's the deal. Being a listener of the Kara Golden Show has its benefits, and this one is too good to miss. Now is the time to sign up for the Washington Post. Go to washingtonpost.com/Kara Golden to subscribe for just 50 cents per week for your first year. That's 80% off their typical offer. So this is truly a steal. Once again, that's washingtonpost.com/Kara Golden to subscribe for just 50 cents per week for your first year. Yes. You bootstrapped that startup from startup to 40 million. I don't know if I have that number correct. And then it was acquired. So can you talk to me a little bit about that experience?
Absolutely. So, you know, we never were looking to build the company to be acquired. I think many entrepreneurs, if not most, I would say, are looking, you know, kind of ahead towards a potential exit and are working, mm-hmm. you know, to build something that is ultimately marketable to potential buyers. I mean, I'm doing that now with Couch.com, really thinking ahead, even though right now you also have to be laser focused on building a great business and a brand. But we always were sort of just going with the flow and seeing where life took us and built a really nice lifestyle business for us and our families. When we got approached by this large retail furniture brand that was sort of looking to get a lot more digitally savvy, so to speak. We talked about, you know, legacy furniture situations. This was a brand that has been around for over 100 years and passed down through three or four generations of a single family. Hmm. It used to be one store in Chicago in, you know, 1912, and then has flourished now into a 30 store, like big furniture store operation. So they were looking to acquire an e-commerce brand to help, you know, sort of bolster their e-commerce presence. And they learned from our trials and tribulations, our experiences, our culture. And for us, it was mutually beneficial because they were offering us a much larger operational infrastructure that could support scalable growth. So it made a lot of sense. And that happened in 2018. We were at one place. And then during that time, I stayed on a COO for 4 years and still ran the company essentially as I would have. We grew it a lot in that time before I left for the last year. But it was quite a process to integrate with such an old school legacy furniture brand.
So I'm so curious. Many people listening to this podcast have thought about being acquired, as you said. What is the exit strategy? Did you hire a banker to get acquired, or did they just approach you? And how did that all work?
Great question. Yeah, because it is quite nebulous. Like, how does this happen? Do you put your business up on eBay and somebody comes and there are some marketplaces, especially in the e-commerce space, that are quite popular. So it's not out of the question, but no, they just sort of approached us. Now, luckily, we had this business advisor that we became really good friends with, and he had equity in our company, and he helped us grow it prior to the acquisition for a number of years. We were very close. His business and his family business by trade, they're an M&A, like mergers and acquisitions company that helps broker deals and bring businesses together, usually representing one party. So I think getting connected with, somebody who literally just focuses on M&A as their, life's purpose is a great way to learn about, where you are, just get a gauge of where you might be in the market. What's the landscape of the market right now for a business like yours? Because they're literally just like you would trust a stockbroker to manage your portfolio of stocks. They're literally buying and selling and vetting businesses every day. Luckily, he was our buddy and a stakeholder in our company. So it was quite fortuitous for us to have him as part of the team.
That's awesome. And so you stayed on, as you mentioned, for how long before you decided to leave?
For long years. There's a lot of Just for Men in my closet. This beard is almost fully gray, let me tell you.
Yeah, it's I've heard many, many stories in every single industry. So now let's jump into Couch.com. How did that come about? You left Apartment 2B. Did you always know that you were going to stay in the furniture industry? Or how did this whole idea come about?
No, of course, I wanted to do anything but furniture. Like any most entrepreneurs, I think there's a lot of burnout in, over the past 15 years, a lot of hustle, a lot of customers. And what I knew I didn't want to do was manage a furniture retail business. As much as I could probably rinse and repeat and, continue my nice lifestyle that I created for myself with a new venture of a similar kind. So I thought about all different sorts of things. I gave myself 6 months to just hang out. I got my first tan that I've ever gotten in my life. I think you have a somewhat similar complexion to me, so maybe yes. You appreciate this.
Yes.
I played a lot of basketball outside and listened to a lot of business books, just caught up on education and awareness of other industries and how people think and areas of my own industry of e-commerce that I wasn't really familiar with, content marketing and SEO. Things I always relied on agencies to do for me that I never really had to learn too deeply about. I'm listening to 6 books in a row over the course of a week in my ears all day long. So I made the most of it. Then I was on a solo trip to Norway and someone had told me that the URL couch.com was available. And I looked at the price tag and I was like, well, that's not happening. Was very expensive just for the domain. It had never been anything, but it had been established about 25 years ago. And I really thought about it and I had this aha moment where I was like, wait a second, I can do another furniture business, but do it in a way that is sort of caters to my needs and my lifestyle that I want going forward, and B, one that's way more scalable than a direct-to-consumer e-commerce business could be. And I'm happy to get into it more, but that's sort of the origins of the idea and my sort of mindset going into couch.com.
So you acquired the couch.com. How long did that take to actually negotiate that?
Yeah, it took a few weeks. It was actually a very interesting story. It was, you know, in that world, sometimes you just go on a marketplace and you can just buy a domain. Mm-hmm. And sometimes for the more premium ones, you generally have to go through a brokerage. So when you're talking about a six-figure, you know, deal, you're essentially buying a business, but it's not really a business. It's very hard to evaluate or put place a valuation on a website URL. And the price, and you can't use comps to do it very easily because it's like couch.com could be this, but couches.com could be like 1/10 of the price. And you're like, okay, well, what really is the difference? What is the value? And then you start to assess some of these intangibles behind it. And ultimately, the people who are selling the domains, it's whatever they want to sell it for. It's not like they're governed by any sort of, you know, like the real estate market is governed by comparables in your area because you can't get a mortgage unless, you know, unless the houses on your street are of a comparable value to what you're asking for the mortgage for. So in this industry, however, in URLs, it's the Wild West. So getting some information about, you know, how it worked from this broker was very eye-opening to me. Well, he also told me that it was owned by a very high net worth individual and that there would be no price negotiation. And the best I could hope for was structuring the deal in a way that was alternative and ultimately advantageous to me, but the price tag would not be lowered.
Interesting. Did he lower it though?
No, he raised it, put interest on it, and I'm buying it over a number of years, but at least I got it on a deal structure that actually does make more sense rather than dropping down a lump sum. So in a sense, now this person who's very active in the tech VC world is sort of involved indirectly with the success of my business. If we continue to be successful, then he will realize his investment potential. And if not, I may have to walk away at some point, hoping that's not the case, but we're sort of connected now in that way. So when I need that favor, I'll be calling you, Eitan. Don't you worry about that.
Interesting. So can you explain the content strategy for couch.com for those who haven't visited it before? I mean, you talked a little bit about it, but how would you lay it out to somebody who maybe couldn't see it visually exactly what you're doing?
Yeah. So what we have up now at this moment in April is just sort of a part of the site. We are building the ultimate platform that will be a lot more robust. So from a consumer perspective, what couch.com is, it's a place to find a couch. We're like the match.com of couches. So how do you build that? Well, we are connecting with basically as many retailers as we possibly can across the country to offer customers a very robust listing of retailers in their area, retailers online, and actual products, couches, that suit their needs. And we're getting information on what they're looking for using a quiz entry point, where we sort of get into what I call the lead variables of a couch buying experience. There's always a few things that guide people's couch buying experience or buying anything for that matter. And it's based on like things that are very important to them. I need something that works with kids, and I need something that's hot pink fabric, and I need something that I can get next week because I'm having a party. Those three variables will narrow down your opportunities to buy something or selections very, very thin. So, you know, in that case, people will often jump at the first thing that they see, and it may not be the best option for them. So at couch.com, from a user perspective, we're trying to offer people access to way more than what you would normally find through a Google search or a search on Yelp or a drive around your neighborhood. I hope that made sense.
Definitely does. And you have tools on the site that help people to kind of make those decisions, which is super great. Is there an opportunity for a retailer to kind of game the system a little bit and sponsor in some way to be able to highlight that they are all of those things?
Well, yes. That is exactly what we're shooting for. I mean, we're sort of going for taking sort of the wire cutter or Consumer Reports approach, where we are presenting brands in positive light. These are all going to be paid partnerships. Ultimately, what we're building is an advertising platform for the furniture industry. And it's very, very much needed, because there does not exist anything that is sort of like a furniture first platform for retailer discovery and for retailers to advertise and find great warm leads of people who are looking for couches. So that's ultimately the monetization and business model. But, you know, we really have to give people a lot of information about these pieces to make them feel comfortable. If retailers want to give us information and access, the more they give us, the more we're able to give to the customers. So that's one thing. But of course, yes, there'll be advertising opportunities for, you know, let's say Bob's Discount Furniture or Raymour and Flanagan to advertise their sales or advertise specific pieces or sponsor things. It's a very competitive industry, and I intend to capitalize on that, you know, competitive nature as much as possible.
So you're a big fan of affiliate marketing. Can you explain what you think are the prospects for 2024, not just for you as Couch.com, but also just for the overall industry?
Yeah, absolutely. So there are a few reasons why I think I've been very bullish on affiliate marketing for a long time. And I've been doing it for the last 10 years pretty heavily with my former brand, and we found a lot of success with it. Ultimately, it's a very efficient form of marketing. Why? Because the affiliate marketing space is 95% a performance-based advertising model. So there, I think CPC and, you know, cost per click is getting more prominent, but generally speaking, affiliate marketing is set up to incentivize publishers across the internet to talk about your brand or your products and influence people to buy them. And when they do, and they help create a conversion, then they get a commission percentage that you have previously negotiated. So that's really the essence of affiliate marketing. And in explaining that, I want to highlight the fact that it is truly performance-based, as if you had a salesperson doing work for you. And it's something that is a very accepted practice in retail, but people aren't as comfortable with affiliate marketing. So ultimately, it's a very efficient form of marketing when our budgets are super tight and we're looking for efficiency. I don't know of any other forms of advertising that are as efficient as that.
Really interesting. So how do you see AI and technology playing a role in the future of Couch.com?
Yeah, in many ways. So I think, you know, AI is sort of in home furnishings is taking a few very big leaps forward right now. One in visualization, right? People need help visualizing furniture or any big items in their space. And I've been on top of like the, you know, for as an e-commerce brand operator, you know, I've been on top of all of the visualization tools that have been out there, and they haven't been great, right? When AR came out a few years ago, everyone's just sort of like trying to put these cartoonish sofas in their room, and it didn't really hit. It did help with conversion, but it didn't help with engagement. Very few people engaged with that that type. But these days, you can, with AI technology, it can literally take a picture of your room, remove your current sofa, and stick in a realistic image of a new sofa, showing you different options of types of couches in your actual room that look very realistic. It's a little goofy, so your couch may have like five fingers coming out or whatever with AI imagery. You never know. But that's one way. And the other way is just with just AI conversational chatbot technology is moving so quickly. And we all see that when you play with GPT or any of the related tools, how smart it can be at giving you information and in a very conversational way. Mm-hmm. Selling somebody couches, you have to understand what they're looking for, and then you cater to those needs. Like I described before, hot pink couch, good for kids, I need it next week. That information normally comes after the customer does like 3 weeks of searching and discovery on their own, and they finally start chatting with a live chat agent. On couch.com, we want to start that right away. Let's figure out what the lead variables are for this individual so we can point them in the right direction and ultimately help sell them a great piece of furniture.
So you've built a company before, and now you're a glutton for punishment. You're doing it again. So what's the most challenging aspect of building a company, would you say?
Well, what I'm living through right now, I think, is pretty relevant, which is I'm at a phase of this company's development where we're not monetizing it yet at all. We're doing a lot of testing, a lot of building, but we're at this point where we're spending money and we don't have anything coming back, and that requires a major leap of faith. Maybe some medication for some people. but it requires a lot of patience and trust in yourself. And that's something that's really hard to do. Even I have had to, like, and I'm sure you can relate because you've done this yourself. There are times in building a business that you're really questioning yourself and whether this is the right move for you. You know, I have two young kids, like, am I making the right decision? Am I putting myself in a bad place financially by taking such a big risk? And then something great happens and you're like, nope, I'm right on target. You know, so it's very, very, very tricky to trust yourself through that beginning process, I think.
Yeah. And I would also say that, you know, when you're a sole founder, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, in this process, I think that's what makes it also less challenging and more challenging, because you're sort of talking to yourself about this and making these decisions, and it's hard. It's super, super hard. So I hear it all the time on this podcast in particular, again, in all different industries and, you know, all different stages of development too. I think people think, okay, if I get my business to 5 million, everything's going to be perfect. And then you're like, okay, now I need more money. Now how do I get it to 10 million? And so there's all these cliffs along the way that I think you've got to keep doing that. And it's super, super challenging. But I think, you know, the key thing that I see too, though, is when you start to get those customer emails back, that's such a key thing, because you know you're on to something and you know that you're doing something right. Maybe it's a little early at couch.com, maybe not, but what about what about apartment 2B? Do you remember any emails that you got from customers saying, oh gosh, this is like, thank you so much for being there and showing me exactly what I needed?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think it's like a milestone that we all search for, sort of, true proof of concept, right? When you see your idea come to fruition and actually work. And in Apartment 2B, early on, we really had no idea what we were doing whatsoever. I mean, we were just piecing it together. There was no playbook for e-commerce furniture at that point. Like, we were just really just trying a lot of different things. But one thing that held true is that every single customer, more or less, that received a product from us and experienced our service was very satisfied. We got a lot of positive reviews, a lot of emails from customers. Thank you so much. My space looks amazing. I can't believe it's so nice. I was nervous. All of that stuff is very, very validating. And I think throughout our early days and the ups and downs, we knew that we had our product. Our product was a service curating and selling couches and other furniture to people. They really liked it. They liked our service. They liked our product. They thought it was a good value. So, I mean, the bones were always there from like our first sale. And that was really inspiring and just really kept us going, even when we had to borrow money from a friend to keep the lights on or whatever else we had to do to, you know, to keep going.
So last question, what's the best advice that you would give to a founder, someone thinking about starting their first D2C company in today's world that we're living in? What do you think you would say? Oh gosh, I hope they know this.
I would say that it's really important to be aware of what's going on around you, because there's so many, this business is moving so fast in e-commerce and direct to consumer brands. It's moving so quickly that if you keep your finger on the pulse of things, you're likely to stumble into a great opportunity, or to be the first to try something, or an unlock that you didn't know was there. And I think a lot of founders can get so insulated into their idea and just their to-do list and executing what they had set out to do, and don't spend enough time networking, listening and reading things about your industry. These types of things, even if you don't talk to anybody or actually network, just reading a Slack channel of a mastermind group like ones that I'm in, or a Facebook group. I'm in an amazing networking group there. Just seeing what people are talking about, gaining contextual points is so important, I think, to guiding, you know, yourself. As much as it can be painful to like have to pivot after hearing something that you thought was a good idea, or just maybe anxiety provoking to hear about other people's successes if you're struggling. But ultimately, being around other people, feeling like there's a community and seeing what they're doing is a great way to kind of keep your head straight and make sure you're opening yourself up to great opportunities.
Yeah, definitely. I couldn't agree with you more. I will also say, too, that I realized this later on in life, that having kids, you know, we're always challenged, right? With the, you know, putting so much time and effort into a startup, but then, you know, we're wondering if it's the right things. I think that the teachings that go on for kids watching parents go through building and starting from nothing and growing it is, you just don't really know what they're learning from it. But I tend to think that most of it is pretty good. So based on what I've seen from a lot of other founders and stories from them too. So
yeah, not to be cheesy, but when my boys are like 7 and 10, and when they reference something about couch.com or business, or like to see that they've picked up on something, like absolutely some of my most proud, tearful, joyful moments, when they just out of the blue will talk about, I don't know, supply and demand or something. I don't know, who knows what these kids say. But when they talk about business or talk about me as, you know, building something, it's proof positive that they're paying attention. And I think it's extremely valuable to them. And it's valuable to me too, to see that they're like, you know, learning something and just kind of feel a part of it. Very cool.
That's awesome. So Alex Back, founder and CEO of Couch.com, thank you so much. We'll have all the info in the show notes. Really appreciate you coming on and sharing all of your stories and lessons, and really terrific, and best of luck with everything.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to be here.
Thanks again for listening to The Kara Golden Show. If you would, please give us a review and feel free to share this podcast with others who would benefit. And of course, feel free to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode of our podcast. Just a reminder that I can be found on all platforms at Kara Golden. I would love to hear from you too, so feel free to DM me. And if you want to hear more about my journey, I hope you will have a listen or pick up a copy of my Wall Street Journal best-selling book, Undaunted, where I share more about my journey, including founding and building Hint. We are here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Thanks for listening, and goodbye for now.